Welcome back to the Lady Dicks podcast. I am your host, Tay, and you're about to meet my co-hosts, Nikki and Andrea. You're probably here to dick around. Let's be honest, that's why we're here too. But we're going to try to keep this shit just a little bit classy.
Hey guys, I'm Nikki. We're glad you didn't ghost us. Today we are detecting the three stories about swashbuckling female pirates.
Because pirates aren't only dudes.
And because apparently Tay loves pirates, so.
I do love pirates.
And we're all about the girl power here.
You know what I should watch on Disney Plus?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. I should.
And she loves Johnny Depp.
In Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes. In Pirates of the Caribbean.
As a general human being.
Which I think we all do. He does a really good job.
Especially the first one.
Yes, the first one was the best, obviously.
But after that, he kind of just went downhill.
Became a reclusive alcoholic.
Cocaine addict. Heroin. We should probably cut all of this. We're two people, so maybe we won't.
All right. Hey, guys. Andrea here. Before we get to that, we've got to share our standard dickclaimer with you. This is a comedy podcast, so if you're one of those people that don't believe crime, comedy, or paranormal stories go together, this is 100% not the podcast for you.
There's also not any paranormal in this particular episode.
So, you know.
Sorry about that. But go ahead and mix it up sometimes, you know. Give you a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and all of our stories can't have everything in one.
It's true.
Because there's so much stuff that we want to do.
Except for in mobs, you can get.
Oh, yeah.
Crime.
Or even like castles and whatnot.
You can get ghosts with pirates too. There's just none in this particular
story. Yeah, there just happens to be none associated with these three stories that we're talking about today.
We also don't recommend this podcast for any minors.
recommend.
It's all good. We knew
it. It went with the minors, you know.
I guess so. Due to our sometimes foul language and gruesome topics that we like to talk about.
Yeah.
Like murder.
Dead people. Pirates.
Black-eyed children.
Ugh. I still think that was the scariest episode.
Yeah.
Orbs. I can't find anything that, like, fuck orbs. Can't think of anything that matches that.
Me neither.
I'm still searching for it.
USOs.
I do like unidentified sea objects.
The Kraken.
I love the Kraken. But we already talked about the Kraken, so you can go back to the sea creatures. That's where he was, I think. Or she. I guess the Kraken can also be a chick. That's fine. The Lady Dicks podcast is an independent podcast, which means we don't have any big financial backers or any financial backers. Like, literally, we don't have anything. We got my debit card. No networks.
Tay's bankroll.
And no help. And while we love it that way, because then we get editorial control and all that fancy jazz, we'll have to bow to the corporate overlords or whatever people say these days. It's a huge help to us, and we have the support of our merch shop, and get yourself some new threads, or send us a very welcome one-time donation to PayPal via our email, stories@theladydicks.com.
If you don't have any extra cash laying around to, you know, spend on us or whatever else, we totally relate, because I think we're all pretty short on cash, especially coming into the Chris. No, yeah. This is after.
I don't know when this one will be released.
Okay, just kidding. but
whatever. Whether it's before or after Christmas, it matters not.
Yeah.
Because you still short.
We short for cash.
Yeah, we have
we
no
live,
cash.
But that's about it. Yeah. We ain't living the high life.
No.
But anyways, we totally get it if you don't either. So you can support us by telling your friends about us and recommending us to a colleague or whoever you think might enjoy our podcast.
Oui.
And if you really love us, which we know you do, give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcatching app along with a quick comment. Your comment doesn't have to say anything at all. Just tell us about your favorite spooky vacation spot or Hollywood Chris. But leaving a comment helps bump those ratings.
And again, I forgot to put this in here, even though we just talked about it. If you want to be updated on everything that is going on with the Lady Dicks, go to theladydicks.com and sign up for the mailing list so you can get our lovely little newsletter, which I don't know. It won't start until the new year.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast might play after the year. We clearly record early, guys. Yay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I figure out the order later.
I mean, so we're prepared.
Very prepared.
We're not behind at all.
What are you talking about? We're not behind. Yeah, anyways, go there and then you get emails from us. Yay.
They're super fun.
Super exciting. Okay, that's all.
Sadie the Goat is a fitting name for the 19th century American pirate. She got her nickname from her violent modus operandi. As a New York City mugger, she would headbutt her victims before relieving them of their valuables. Sounds like a lovely gal.
She's a catch.
We really have no idea when Sadie was born or to whom, but she was born Sadie Farrell and spent much of her childhood as a mugger and petty thief in and around the slums of the Fourth Ward near the East River in New York City. Sadie and her accomplices worked the streets of New York in pairs. Sadie would headbutt the victim, and while their attention was on Sadie, her male accomplice would slingshot a rock into the victim's head. That sounds like it could be pretty fatal.
Yep.
The pair would then take everything of value, including the victim's clothes and shoes, and quite possibly their life. Sadie's headbutting routine went on until she was run out of New York City by a mammoth of a woman named Gallus Mag.
She sounds like a mammoth of a woman.
She sure does. She was 6 feet tall and had a signature move of biting her opponent's ear. Like someone else we know, Mike Tyson. Pending a few whacks in the head with the bat didn't take them down. One night, Sadie got into a spat with Gallus, who was a bouncer at a Water Street dive called The Hole in the Wall.
Fitting name.
Very. While no one's sure how the fight got started, it was said that Sadie was Irish and Gallus English. So it was a fight waiting to happen. Sadie was in her cups, and the two women started a brawl, which ended with Gallus biting off Sadie's ear and tossing her onto Dover Street. Gallus later put Sadie's ear in a pickle jar full of alcohol and gave it a place of honor in her ear collection, even labeling it in fine script, the ear of Sadie the Goat.
Mm-hmm.
Sadie ended up being banned from the Fourth Ward, likely in 1869, because it was around that same time that she came across a gaggle of men, a small faction of the Charlton Street gang, attempting to capture a sloop, but failing miserably. Sadie offered to lead the gang, and in a matter of days, they had captured one. Sadie flew a Jolly Roger, and her crew and their newly captured sloop spent the next while raiding farmhouses, mansions, and preying on small river merchant ships in the Hudson.
Just because, I don't know, I think we covered in the Blackbeard, the Jolly Roger, but just in case anyone's curious, it's the pirate flag. So, she was a pirate. In case there's any
doubt.
Any doubt about that, Sadie was a pirate. And she thought she was, too.
Yay. That's good that she was confident in her pirate status.
She was fully on board, decked out with a flag and everything.
During this time, Sadie was rumored to make people walk the plank when they didn't follow orders. But her pirating lasted a mere few months before people who sailed the Hudson started arming themselves.
Oh. Oopsies.
Guess you didn't think about that one.
Bastards.
Sadie returned to the Fourth Ward, made up with Gallus, who returned her ear, which she then wore in a locket around her neck.
Oh, that's so fucking weird.
That's gross.
Yep.
Yep.
But despite her short stint as a pirate, Sadie the Goat was known as Queen of the Waterfront for the rest of her life.
This episode is pretty cool because for each of the stories, we're going to give you a spooky traveler spot. So the first one for Sadie the Goat, or something to do, I think. It's either a spot or something to do. They kind of vary with this episode. So you get three different spooky traveler sections here. So the first one is the Sunset Cruise in New York City, because that's where she was a pirate. So while there aren't any haunted places to visit in connection with Sadie the Goat, we decided on a sunset cruise on a yacht in Manhattan that allegedly comes with a complimentary drink courtesy of Classic Harbor Line, so you can enjoy the brilliance that was formerly the domain of the Queen of the Waterfront. The tour is 2 hours long, and while the most popular start to... Nope. Beep, beep, beep.
Reverse.
We're backing up here. The tour is 2 hours long, with the most popular start time being 7:15 in the evening, though you can head out as early as 5:45, which is obviously due to the fact that it's a sunset cruise and the sun sets at, I don't know, like 7:15 is probably a good time to watch sunset.
Well, I guess it depends on the time of year.
Depends on the time of year. The tour will cruise by, quote, the most iconic sites of the New York Harbor and East River, unquote, including Ellis Island, the Brooklyn Bridge, Manhattan and William. Oh, the Brooklyn, Manhattan and Williamsburg bridges. It was correct. It was fine. And the sea glass carousel. And you'll, quote, watch the sunset in front of the Statue of Liberty.
Ooh.
Cute. Cruise prices start at about $7.79. 81 Canadian. Apparently, I cannot.
79.81.
So that's about $60 for Americans, roughly. It's my brief estimate. The trip has a 5 out of 5 on TripAdvisor, but it only has 9 reviews, all of which are excellent or very good. It was probably all written by their moms.
Yeah.
Tourism companies.
Their family members supporting their business.
Attendees have said the tour is, quote, a must do if you visit NYC in a, quote, beautiful boat with spectacular views. But they also do suggest getting there early because the ticket booth was hard to find. And they had to get their vouchers verified. Yay. So if you go on the Sunset Cruise, let us know how it is.
Yeah.
We've never been.
Obvi.
I don't have an extra $80.
Nope. I don't even have an extra whatever it takes to fly there from here.
Definitely don't
have that. Yeah. I was going to say that would be the hardest part.
We definitely don't have that.
And if I got there, I probably, after hotel and food, wouldn't have the extra $80 to spend unless it was like a big trip.
You can afford a hotel and food in New York.
No,
you're doing good.
After.
No, I'm
pending
saying
she could even afford it the first
if
place.
If she could afford a hotel and food in New York, she'd be doing good.
All right. Next up. Ching, is it she or shy?
I think I would say she.
She? Okay. Ching Shi was born Shi Yang in Guangzhou, China.
Sorry, I gave you the really hard one up here.
That's okay. Sometime in 1775. While we know little about her early childhood, we do know that at some point she became a prostitute that worked in a floating brothel in Canton.
Nice.
Floating brothel, that sounds interesting.
Here's the thing.
Traveling brothel.
If I was a prostitute...
You'd want to work on a floating brothel?
I feel like a floating brothel would be worth that.
Here's the problem with something that's floating. It's not that easy to just get out.
That's very true. I just feel like it'd be very
You'd have
exotic.
To be committed, though. I mean, yeah. Anyway. She was beautiful, and in 1801, that beauty was noticed by pirate Zhang Yi, who commanded the Red Flag Fleet. According to legend, he ordered the brothel plundered, and Ching brought it to him.
No,
brought to him.
Like he wanted.
Oh, right. He wants. Okay, yeah. Got it.
And then also bring me the hot chick while you're at it.
Ooh, I'm having a moment of blonde issues.
It's all good. It's all good.
So ordered it plundered and Ching brought to him. Other tales say that he simply proposed to her like a normal dude, and she agreed pending she had power on the ship and an equal share of the goods obtained.
If you know what we mean.
Hey, negotiating gal. Love it.
True story.
Regardless
She was very, like, much a feminist, is one of the things that you find out.
It's amazing. Regardless of how exactly it happened, the two began to run the Red Flag Fleet together. With the two of them at the helm of the fleet, quickly grew from 200 ships to more than 600,
this
which
is
crazy.
Lesson for all of those people who run companies. If you put a woman on your board, you do better. This is actually, I'm not even joking. They've proven this, that boards run with women make more money. But not all women boards, just to clarify, but like boards that introduce women on them.
Yeah, it's not just all men.
Are way better run and make more money. But this, I feel like, is proof.
Yeah. Which apparently became eventually almost 1,800 ships, it's which a is lot of ships. A lot of ships.
Yeah, it is. And especially like where they started from.
Yeah. But in 1807, after only 6 years of marriage, Zhang Yi died.
Which is kind of a bummer.
Qing was in
Besides
no...
Besides the fact that he was a pirate.
Yeah. She was in no hurry to return to a life of prostitution, so she took charge of the Red Flag Fleet and the 50,000 to 70,000 pirates that ran it. That is a lot of people to be in charge of.
It's like a small city.
Yeah. She was known as, quote, a strict and regimented pirate lord, focusing much of her attention on the business side of things and military strategy.
That's right. She was a businesswoman.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say a modern-day entrepreneur. Not super modern, though.
No. But, you know, taking charge.
An entrepreneur, though.
Getting involved.
Like a
making
legit
shit happen.
Entrepreneur.
Hell yeah.
Not
yeah.
a Tinder entrepreneur,
no,
but
no,
a
no.
legit entrepreneur.
She didn't, like, run her computer business out of her mom's basement in her underwear, guys. She got out there.
Yeah. She formed a, quote, ad hoc government under which her pirates were bound to and protected by laws and tax. All plunder was first registered before being distributed, with 20% to the capturing ship and 80% to the collective fund.
Nice.
She also put in place strict rules about taking female captives. The pirate... excuse me. The pirates were welcome to take women as their wives, but they were, quote, bound to be faithful and to take care of her. And offenses like rape and unfaithfulness were blah, blah, blah.
Executable.
Thank you. Wow. It's like you trying to say Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. Anonymous is the same one for me.
So executable.
Executable.
You know what? Yep. Thank
they
you.
Could
offenses.
Be executed for them.
Yes. They could be executed because apparently I can't say that word.
Well, not in that format that it's written. You can say execute fine.
Yeah. Deserters were also hunted down and had their ears cut off when they were captured. That would
I just want to point out that in her ship, rape, I'm going to brush away unfaithfulness because I'm not really sure that you should really be executed for that. But rape is, you can be executed for, but if you desert, you just get your ears cut off.
Qing's fleet was terrifying and defeated Chinese, Portuguese, and British naval ships. And the Chinese government took action, offering amnesty to any any pirates with hopes of dwindling her reign over the sea. Chang Pao, Zhang Yi's former second in command, tried to negotiate with Chinese authorities, but they hit a deadlock over what would happen with the leftover loot. Qing decided to take over, walked into the offices, quote, unarmed, accompanied by 17 illiterate women and children, and ended the negotiations. She got to keep all the loot and marry Chang Pao so long as they bent the knee.
That is called having your cake and eating it too.
Yeah. They did, and the two ended up having a son. Chang Pao eventually died, and Qing returned to Canton to open a gambling house where she stayed until her death in 1844. So, kind of a happy ending.
I feel like that's a relatively happy ending.
I mean, she lived a decent life. She didn't get killed, like murdered, and
yeah.
or so we know.
She instilled some good laws on pirate ships.
She was still an entrepreneur.
I mean, I just want to point out that she still, even though her laws seem like pretty cool for that time, like very feminist forward, she still killed people.
Yeah, that's true.
And they still stole from other people.
Well, she didn't die from it.
True story.
She won.
True story.
We couldn't find anything directly related to Xing Shi travel wise, so we decided to recommend the Interactive Pirate Theater Cruise in Vancouver, BC, because we're Canadian and we dig pirate stuff.
Mostly me. I dig pirate stuff.
I dig pirate stuff. I'm not as into it as you are.
That's true.
But I also...
Speaking of which, I 100% want to watch Pirates of the Caribbean.
I mean,
after this.
Love and miss my hometown of Vancouver terribly.
I did start The Little Mermaid, though, and I was just starting to test my TV.
The live action one?
No.
It's not out yet.
It's not out yet.
I didn't think so.
This is just the original version, and I wanted to finish it, but I didn't yet.
Yeah.
This is a particularly great activity if you're traveling with a gaggle of cherubs.
Yay.
Taylor's favorite.
My favorite.
Essentially, you dress up as pirates and take a boat ride. But if you're childless, they do have an adult-themed sunset sails activity, and their season starts May 18th. So by the time you hear this, you can get up and go. Or maybe not.
Because it depends on when this episode gets released.
But that's okay. May is a ways away from now. Okay, technically, you have to be in Vancouver first. It'll cost you $30 per person, Canadian that is, to attend. And you get a little discount if you're in bigger groups.
Yay.
The following is the official description from their website. With the Jolly Roger flying and our pirate crew at the ready, we venture forth seeking sunken treasure aboard a 50-foot pirate ship armed with 12 cannons.
Which I'm sure don't actually work.
I'm sure they don't, especially since it's like a totally like kid-friendly thing. Yeah. So. From the sea battle to walking the plank, you will be amazed as our energetic crew taps into your child's imagination, transforming him or her into a pirate, complete with face painting, tattoos, and pirate gear. Don't worry, I don't think they're real tattoos.
Yeah, pretty sure they're just like stickers.
This 75-minute, non-stop, action-filled sail is a wonderful opportunity to be introduced to Vancouver's exciting Granville Island and False Creek Waterway.
I do actually think it'd be a really cool way to see, to like look at Vancouver proper, because you're
well, I had a grad cruise going around all that too.
Yeah. So, was it yeah. cool?
Yeah, it was.
Although, I mean you kind of grew up there, so.
Yeah. So
might be a little less cool,
but it was cool. It's a great way to see Granville Island and Falls Creek Waterway in the heart of the city. Join in the fun as you discover the treasure map, solve the map's secrets and mysteries, defend the ship with our water cannons against the evil pirate Pete, survive a mutiny, haul the loot aboard, share the booty, sing a sea shanty with a wee bit of grog. I don't think it's real grog either for the kiddies.
It might be on the adult cruise, though.
Maybe. And live the adventure of a pirate.
Yay.
The Pirate Adventure Cruise has a 5 out of 5 rating, but not everyone loved it, specifically this traveler. Terrible. You are told you will be given a costume, but the costume is just a vest, sash, and mustache. That still sounds pretty elaborate. Making every woman look like a man.
Very nice.
The staff person doing the tour was unprofessional and overtly sexual, even asking men for phone numbers at the end of the trip, which is not what you want when going as a couple. They played top 40 music on board instead of something related to the theme. I do not recommend wasting your money. But don't let that fool you. We're basically booking our trip today.
All right. Born Marianne de Laveau in the province of Brittany, France, sometime around 1650... Anne was a criminal deported to French Tortuga in the 1660s. It was there that she married a man whose name has been lost to history, though we read somewhere that his name might have been Peter or Pierre Length. Oh, fucking no. And the pair had two children who were also unknown and lost to history. In 1683, her husband... Mad eyes. Weird. Anyway, in 1863, her hubby was apparently killed by a, quote, famous buccaneer named Lawrence de Graaf. Does that sound right? Yeah.
Yeah.
In a bar fight, which he might or might not have, or which might or might not have been over a spilled pint. And to avenge his death, Anne challenged him to a duel to avenge her hubby's death, just so everyone knows. Apparently, this is a real turn-on because Lawrence got down on one knee right there and asked him to marry her. And because apparently this is a really sick rom-com and not a drama, she married him on the spot. Though we should point out that he was actually already married. So they never officially got married. But from then on, they were known as being married. Apparently, though, this guy would not have lasted on Shang-Chi's ship because...
No.
In any case, apparently, though, Anne was looking for a way to get rich off pirating, so she took over Lauren's ship, immediately demanding the crew set sail. While typically women were seen as bad luck on the ship, men saw Anne as good luck, and the two went on to do some, quote, badass adventures and were, quote, incredibly feared as a couple. While her story isn't that well documented, the most famous tale of her is when they were attacked by a Spanish ship and Lawrence was killed by a cannonball. Sounds very movie-like. Anne took his place at the helm to captain the ship, but they were eventually taken captive. They were first taken to Veracruz, Mexico, then to
Cartagena,
Colombia, both of which were previously attacked and sacked by Lawrence and his boys. They were there to be judged, but Anne's fame was so great that the French Marin secretary, of Pontchartrain? Sure.
Sounds legit.
Of her impending trials. So he, quote, wrote to the 14th of France.
Yeah.
I skipped over the X there. Louis the 14th of France and asked him to make the King of Spain intervene. She was later set free and as a special favor between kings and was never heard from again. Her daughter, though we don't know her name, was also famous for challenging a man to a duel. So, ooh, like, mother girl like daughter. Power.
All right.
I do like that he was so turned on that he was like, hey, actually, instead let's of get dueling, married. How about we get married?
How just, that turns into that. Out
there. I'm not saying no to your duel or anything. I'm just saying, like, if you want to take this in a different direction.
I dig you.
I'm open to that. I'm picking up what you're putting down, and I'm really liking it.
I'm a little turned on right now, so you know.
That is disgusting.
Instead of bringing a gun to battle.
Is that a gun in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?
Don't you know you're not supposed to bring a stick to a gun or to,
to a gunfight?
Anyway, all right, that went.
My bad. That snowballed real quick. Woo!
Yep. I hope there were no children listening to that.
Yeah, who cares?
Their parents have been warned.
Yes, yeah.
That's very true.
We you have warn been you. Warned. Do not get mad at us. All right, so spooky traveler time.
Yay.
So, Isla Tortuga, or the Island of Tortuga, is probably one of the most famous pirate ports, which you might remember from Pirates of the Caribbean.
True story.
And also the place where Anne,
Dulaveau,
thank you, was sent to for being a criminal. So it's fitting that we recommend it for spooky traveler destination.
I 100% almost fell off my seat when I learned that Tortuga was a real place. I always thought it was fictional. I thought it was fictional. And then I was doing a project in my undergrad on Haiti. And I was talking to the guy, like, to a history professor from the USC, and I don't even know how we got on that. Like, Tortuga is really close to Haiti, though.
Yeah.
And he was saying something about Tortuga, and I was like, Tortuga's a real place? And he was like, yeah. He said it was a really famous pirate port, you know, back in the age of golden age of piracy. And I was like, oh. I was like, I thought they just made it up for Pirates of the Caribbean. And he was like, no, it's, like, a real thing.
I
was like,
that's amazing. Yeah. I love it so much more.
Tortuga is on my list of places to go.
That would be pretty cool. Tortuga Island is listed as the number one thing to do in Punterias. Is that how you say it?
Punteras?
Punterinas. I don't know.
Punterias. Sure. It's in Costa Rica. Though it's technically an island of its own. There are a number of options if you're itching to visit the island, including full-day Tortuga Island cruise from San Jose by the Costa Rica Group's travel company, which will set you back around $172.01 Canadian. Calypso's day trip to Tortuga Island from Calypso. Cruises, which starts at $191.27.
They're all super pricey.
I said that weird. $191.27. And I believe that's also Canadian.
Yeah.
Tortuga Island Cruise.
I was on the Canadian TripAdvisor, so these are all Canadian prices.
Tortuga Island Cruise by Gray Line Costa Rica, which starts at $185.77.
Yay.
very expensive, but obviously if you're there, it's a big touristy thing to do and be pretty cool to see.
Also, it sounds like a full day trip.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's probably lots to see.
Yeah.
Anyways, Tortuga Island has a 4.5 out of 5 star rating on TripAdvisor, with 80% of visitors basically loving it. Except for this traveler, of course, because we love to give you the shitty reviews.
Yay.
Who claim that that Isla Tortuga was the, quote, worst place I visited in Costa Rica. I have seen lots of Costa Rica over 3 years of visits, and this is the worst. After the cost of the boat ride, you pay extra to snorkel, walk in the forest, sit on a beach chair, or do any other activity. Swimming isn't great due to the number of boats just offshore. Well, it's a fucking port, pretty much. So, there you go. Snorkeling was a waste of money due to how murky the water was and the fact that there were about 40 people snorkeling in the same small area. Since I don't drink alcohol, it was a long, long day. The promo photos show a pristine beach. However, that is not what is there. Be prepared to spend a lot of money in addition to the cost of getting there. But don't let that shitty review get you down, because if we had a crush... wow. If we had cash... Yep. We'd be booking our vacay right now. This so
is 100% true. And Costa Rica would definitely be on my list.
I definitely want to go to Costa Rica. And now that I know about this, I might budget a little extra when I end up going to Costa Rica one day.
Yeah.
Hopefully not 5 years from now.
We're 20. Okay. So before we go, I put myself a little note here to tell you about the book. This information wasn't necessarily from the book, but I did find and read their original stories in a book called Pirate Women by Lauren Duncombe. Sorry, I don't have the book in front of me. Anyway, great book. It was also the book that we used for the Grace O'Malley. Is it Grace O'Malley?
Mm-hmm, I think so. Sounds legit.
It does sound legit. Anyway, rings a bell. You can find the book on the website. I think it's actually going to be on both websites. We have like a book list, so if you want to get it, you can use our affiliate link and help support the podcast. That would be awesome. And then there's other sources used, and you can always find those on theladydicks.com. Under this specific episode, there's a list and a link to all the sources we use in case you want to read more about these lovely lady pirates. So you want to hang out with us on the internet? You can go to @TheLadyDicks on Instagram, Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook, but literally nothing happens on Facebook. So
yeah,
we rarely post on there. You can get on our mailing list, theladydicks.com, and find out what we're up to and get all those kind of cool emails and shit from us.
Yeah, and help support us.
Because the one thing you need in your inbox is more mail.
Yeah.
And, go to ladydicks.com, go to thespookytraveler.com, visit us, hang these out with us. We appreciate it.
Follow us on social media.
Yeah. Tell your friends, family, mom, coworkers.
Spread the word.
That guy on the street that you really don't like. But you're like, hey, you want to, like, build some rapport and you think that maybe he'll be into haunted shit. Yeah, tell him too. That'd be fun. In any case, we will catch you on the next episode.
In the meantime, try not to ghost anyone. Thank you. As I get the stare down.
What are you mad at? Little bastard.
LB.
He's like barking a storm up there. Not really, but...